We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game offs on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com to start winning.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Fay. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. Jack, another Nets win tonight over the Cavs, 117-112. How are we doing, Jack?
The wins are even better, Nick, when they're led by Patty Mills and Killer Chef Curry Cam, whatever you want to call him. He's cooking. Patty's cooking. The Nets guards doing work.
Yeah, this was the first game we saw Cam Thomas contribute to winning basketball in the NBA, and it was pretty cool to see. We'll jump to that and plenty more. Catch the buzz on all streaming platforms. Jack, where do you want to start?
Nick, you tell me. Who do you think was the key to this comeback? Obviously, Darius Garland getting a bit of an elbow to the head from DeAndre Bembry. You know, obviously inadvertent, not necessarily LeBron James style with what he did. But in saying that, who do you think was the catalyst for it? And I mean, I got to see a solid chunk of the game, and I've obviously got my own biases here. But who helped lead the Nets back from the abyss?
You know, it'd be easy to go with the superstars here. I think there's one adjustment that we'll talk about later that I thought was pretty big. But let me give Cam Thomas some credit here, because I thought having that youthful energy in the game, some excitement, some scoring pop, some spacing, and now that kind of helped the Nets get a boost and make that run and win the game. And we've seen with these second units, they're just lacking some pop. And he came off the bench, gave the Nets 11 points, 4-7 from the field, 2-3 from deep, 1-1 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds, 1 block. I thought he played solid defense, and I'm not saying he's the reason they won the game, but he definitely gave them a different level of spark in this one just because they're missing that. And it's, you know, it's a, what is it, a November game against the Cavs. It's not that exciting. It's not like it's going against the Lakers or the Warriors or something like that. So sometimes you need these young guys to come off the bench and create some excitement, and he did that tonight.
Plus 11 in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Too. Scored 11, like, and they weren't bad shots. He wasn't forcing anything like we saw in, you know, very mild instances of the sort of junkish sort of time that he was thrown out there, or the filler time that you alluded to in previous games. But all the shots that I saw, there was basically he was able to showcase three-level scoring, getting to the line, hitting that mid-range at the end of the third quarter, which I was like, okay, take the three there. But then he knows he's got the mid-range in his bag. Like, he's, for a guy who's a rookie, there aren't many rookies that have a bag as deep as Mr. Killer Cam Thomas. So just the awareness and he made some nice kick-out passes, some, you know, like solid fundamental plays. He just looked like he belonged out there. And I think the Cavs are a pretty good team, Nick. You know, this season, obviously, they've got their injuries here and there. But, you know, our boy Jared Allen was back. Larry Markin was back. Ricky Rubio's playing well. Darius Garland's been a revelation this season. So for Cam Thomas to be out there and alongside Patty Mills in a lot of lives, they were just balls of energy and balls of excitement in a lot of respects.
Yeah, and it just gives the Nets some offensive pop. Like, he's a guy that can hit threes. And you mentioned it, Jack. We saw, like, different aspects of his game. This is kind of the player he can be in the NBA right now. And maybe there's a possibility as the season progresses he could do a little bit more scoring on his own or a little bit more creating. But it's what we talked about a lot in the offseason. Like, being a three-point threat, and then when you get closed out on hard, attack. You know, you saw the mid-range, you saw the floater. You know, he did get blocked by Kevin Love, but I think he'll adjust to that as he kind of moves forward. So the defense, too. What was it? One of his first possessions in the game. You know, plays great defense, gets the block, saves the block, throws it back in bounds. Those are just kind of plays that create energy. And I'm not saying, you know, like I said, Cam Thomas is not the reason they won the game, but he definitely provided some level of spark and some level of excitement for the team, the fan base, and also just the possibility of him going forward and being an option that can give you something off the bench instead of depending so hard on KD and James Harden for all that offensive pop and Patty Mills and LaMarcus.
Yeah, and then relying on, you know, supplementary players like Von Carter, DeAndre Bembry, Bruce Brown, and, you know, smart coaching from Steve Nash. You know, yeah. Full credit goes to him for taking out Javon Carter because, you know, net negative, again, hitting a couple of three balls, but just not doing enough defensively. In a lot of ways, you just balance it all out. Cam Thomas is by far a superior offensive player, despite the fact that maybe Javon Carter is a little bit better of a ball handler and initiator, but I don't really think that's much to be said, to be honest, especially when Cam... when both of them are out there with Patty Mills, there just seemed to be a nice little synergy between those two. Patty Mills is just developing really good on-court chemistry with so many guys. It's so much fun to watch. And so I think that Cam just proved himself, like, whether it's whatever matchups, you know, give him some time. I think that we've all been sort of clamoring for it in a lot of ways, especially seeing a lot of other teams play their rookies, including Golden State, and they've been so successful. And they've played Moses Moody, and they've played Jonathan Kuminga against us even. And, you know, they were doing some good things. We know that this guy's got so much talent, so much potential. He dropped nearly a 50-piece in the goddamn Long Island a couple of nights ago. And he's just taking that confidence and bringing it into... And I think that it's hard to go from a Long Island Summer League sort of system that Cam Thomas has had, where the ball is in his hands a million times, he'll have 30 shots a game, to go, okay, now we need you to be a gunner role player. We need you to fit within the offense. And that's hard for a guy to adjust his mentality, adjust where he can fit, but and utilize the best of his skill set. But he was great tonight. Awesome performance with Killer Cam. And you know, to get this from him against a pretty quality opponent, like I mentioned, Nick, it's absolute gravy.
Yeah, and I think it's going to take some time to adjust. Not only is he used to playing that in summer league in Long Island, he's pretty much played that way his entire life. You know, when he was at LSU, he was the offense. That was kind of his job. So, you know, he needs time to adjust. But even if it was strictly three-point shooting and just high-effort defense, I'd be okay with that because the Nets are desperately lacking spacing. Obviously, Joe Harris is out, but you mentioned some of the other guys they play. You know, they play Bembry, they play Griffin, they play Brown, they play Johnson, all guys that don't have consistent three-point shots. So if Cam could just be good from three and show effort defensively, like, there's going to be mistakes out there, but I saw a couple tweets today and I thought this was great points. Is like, if he's making those mistakes at 100% energy level, like high-speed mistakes, that's okay. It's not like he's being lazy out there. Those are the things that you can live with, especially from a rookie, because you'll end up benefiting from this later in the season when he's more polished.
Yeah, they're sort of like Kevin Durant mistakes when he's over-rotating and trying to help too much compared to James Harden mistakes where he just can't. He just lets...
Just he doesn't have the ball.
Yeah, swipes the ball, lets guys blow by him because he doesn't have the lateral quickness to sort of stop them. But Cam Thomas also has a little bit of size about him for the guard position, you know, like 6'4"-ish, whereas Javon Carter being 6', while he obviously can be a hound defensively, if you have him and Mills out there, you know, there isn't much size at all. Whereas if you have James Harden, obviously, as a guy who's like 6'5", he's pretty sizable for a guy of his stature at the shooting guard, point guard position. But if you got Patty Mills out there and Javon Carter, you know, you can exploit that a little bit and try and find some openings with some bigger guys. Obviously not with a Darius Garland, who's basically the same height as those dudes. But I think Cam Thomas is actually going to be, and he's got a solid body about him. He's strong enough, especially offensively. You know, he's not afraid of contact whatsoever. So it was cool to see, you know, him bring, you know, the Long Island dominance and then just cater it to the NBA level basketball. It's going to be something that we'll remember for a really long time, and I'm sure he will too.
Yeah, and on KD on Cam Thomas, he was incredible for us. He gave us the spark we needed. I think parentheses his defense kept him in the game. He needs to build on that because he has a bright future. So, like, I think you could see from the teammates too, because the team was kind of dead in that first half. There just like wasn't much pop to it. And Cam did play in the first half as well, but it's really where he had that third quarter run where the team just was like boom, boom, boom. You know what I mean? And sometimes that's what you need in these games. But Jack, I think another big adjustment in this one too that helped was led to the win was, I don't know if this was Steve Nash or Kevin Durant personally, he switched on to Jared Allen. So now the pick and roll between Darius Garland and Jared Allen was murdering the Nets for the first 2.5 quarters of this game. They make that switch, and now KD's comfortable switching on to Garland. He's moving faster in those situations, and I feel like that really helped pop the Nets defense up. I think in general in the third quarter, they just turned the energy up, played with a little bit more physicality. But those small adjustments defensively are what can help you win games. And there are adjustments that we necessarily haven't seen from Steve Nash a lot in this, you know, this early season.
Yeah, 32-19 compared to 36-28, you know, to the Cavs' advantage in that second compared to the third quarter. So a plus 13-point advantage in that third quarter. Obviously, we spoke about Cam Thomas. You know, Kevin Durant, while not his best game, he just always seems to have a little bit of rust, you know, as we've seen last season coming off the you know, whether it's resting or an injury, and maybe he's doing some other things behind the scenes with our girl Taylor Rooks at Bleacher Report, and you know, some adult curricular activities for his agent, Rich Kleiman. I thought, yeah, check my timeline if you want to see what that's about. I don't want to throw my boy Kevin Durant under the bus, but he's doing his thing. But yeah, I think that the engagement, and I've always said this about Steve Nash, is that if he's proactive and impacting the game, it's sort of like what you said about Cam Thomas. You'd rather try stuff than that it doesn't work, rather than just be lackadaisical and reactive to what's happening. See, actually be proactive, make the changes and go, okay, Kevin Durant's an incredible defender, probably our best pick and roll defender, even though that shouldn't be the case. You probably throw it at DeAndre Bembry too, but he's 6'5". You throw it at Bruce Brown too, but he's 6'3". So you just, all the little wrinkles here are the reason why the Nets were able to come back. You know, they had a 65-49 second half. You know, that second half to be able to readjust and go. And, you know, we've seen, you know, when the Nets are at their best, they're able to readjust, look at tape at halftime and go, okay, we know what's going wrong here. We know what we need to do. And they continue to show some things that we saw against Orlando, some gritty sort of stuff. You know, yep. James Johnson doing his thing with the boards, LaMarcus Aldridge, a few things here and there. You know, Paul Millsap, I thought, rebounded the ball pretty well, and James Harden continues to do that. The team rebounding seemed to be a bit better, and LaMarcus Aldridge has been incredible on the boards of late. Him and James Johnson in that front court have looked, you know, great in the past sort of, you know, clutch time and fourth quarter performances. Whether that lasts against, you know, some better teams, you know, some elite teams, we'll have to wait and see, but I'm not going to knock it out whatsoever. But Nick, how have we not talked about Patty Mills yet? We spent a lot of time talking about my boy Killer Cam. I was trying to, you know, weave you into Patty Mills talk, but of course you want to speak about Steve Nash and the X's and the O's. Let's get to the Aussie Killer. Let's get to Baller Patty, because
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can we say one more thing on Steve Nash?
Oh, you fine. Okay, fine.
Another big adjustment that he did, and I think this is something he didn't necessarily want to do, is he benched Blake Griffin in the second half.
Yeah, you know,
Blake wasn't good in this game. He was having issues. We talked about the Garland and Allen pick and roll. That was just getting demolished with Blake in there because he just doesn't have the length to deal with Jared Allen. There was even a couple possessions where Allen was able to just kind of either score over him or reach over him for the rebound because he just doesn't have that size. But moving to Patty Mills, Jack, I'll let you lead.
Look, 6 of 10 from the field, including 5 of 9 from 3, plus 20 on the night, leading the team in that regard. So whether it was with the second unit, whether it was with the superstars, without the superstars, you can make a very credible argument that Patty Mills was one of the most, if not the most important player out there tonight. 17 points, 3 dimes, little defensive plays here and there, killer 3 balls off James Johnson. I'm really liking the little chemistry and handoffs from James Johnson and Patty Mills. That's been really, really nice. And you have, you know, obviously LaMarcus Aldridge, the embedded chemistry that they've got with their history since Portland and San Antonio for that matter. What more can I say about Patty Mills, Nick? You know, I've got enough content to write a goddamn book. You know, not even a book, like a goddamn book series. Like it's Harry Potter and there's 7. Maybe let's turn into a film franchise, my love for Patty Mills. Because, dear Lord, the way that this guy's adjusted, he's playing as good a basketball as I've ever seen him play. He's playing Olympic-level basketball for Patty Mills, but in a way where he's not the lead guy, but we need lead guy moments from him. And he's giving us that. He's providing spark threes, little defensive plays, little deflections here and there. It's a joy to watch. And, you know, if I wasn't at an establishment where I have to teach children, I'd be a bit more explicit. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, maybe he thought it was the Olympics. Rubio was out there, you know, some international ball. He turned it up. He got, you know, he was live for that play. Like you said, he drew the offensive foul on Rubio late in the game and then hit the three on the offensive possession. That was huge. I think he's finally starting to kind of understand his role and where he can kind of find these spots. And his trigger on a three-point shot is insanely quick. I mean, like, we're talking like probably one of the fastest in the NBA. It's so crazy to see.
I don't mean to interrupt, Nick, and I don't mean this to be sacrilege in any way, but it's Stephen Curry-esque.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Stephen Curry is the best and probably has the quickest trigger in the history of the sport and maybe that we'll ever see. But Patty Mills has that same sort of mechanic about him.
Yeah, it's just so quick. He's always ready. It's just like you're putting like almost a bullet in the chamber when the ball hits his hand and it's just like bomb. So Patty's been awesome. And I think, like I said, he's starting to find his groove on this team and kind of understand what he can do. And like you said, the chemistry with James Johnson is really nice. And I think a big factor for that, and I saw this pointed out on Twitter, is like James Johnson's actually capable of dribbling and moving with some speed. You know, Blake Griffin, Paul Millsap, LaMarcus Aldridge, they're just not really those guys right now at that point in their career. But James Johnson still has a little pop in that step, can create a little bit of space, especially when the defender's like sagging off him so much. He utilizes his body and creates that extra space for Patty. But also Patty does a great job of just kind of sneaking around the perimeter sometimes and getting those open spots and just hitting those big shots that the team needs. And he's been great, especially with, you know, Joe Harris being out.
Oh, he's stepped up in such a big way, and obviously we heard Joe speak to the Nets media, and hopefully he's back sooner rather than later. You know, Bruce Brown with his hamstring injury, but you know, the next man up mentality, those blue collar boys, especially Patty Mills, he might have to overtake, you know, Blake Griffin and Joe Harris as being the leader of that department, because he's playing better than blue collar basketball. He's playing white collar, orange collar, whatever color under the rainbow. That's Patty Mills. He's all of them and then some. So he's been absolutely incredible, Nick. But the starters overall were a bit Nick. Now, if you were to go through, you know, how would you surmise, I guess, the performance from Kevin Durant? You know, 8 of 19 from the field, which is good for a normal player, but not Kevin Durant. 1 of 4 from 3, 10 of 10 from the free throw line. Did also have 9 dimes, 6 boards, only the 2 turnovers and 3 blocks. Not the best offensive game from Kevin Durant, but man, he made up for it in a lot of other ways. You know, you touched on the defense especially.
Yeah, I think even offensively he was okay. It was just really shooting wise. Like, you could tell his shot was a little bit off. You know, Cavs did a pretty good job, you know, playing defense on him and giving him a lot of attention. He never really got a ton of clean looks into his spot. And, you know, he did miss a game. Maybe the shoulder's bothering him a touch, but 9 assists is good. And I thought, you know, we saw a couple of possessions, him working out of the post, setting other guys up. He has a nice chemistry with Patty Mills as well. And it looked like Cam Thomas was a guy that Kevin Durant was trying to get involved and trying to get him going. And they mentioned on the broadcast those two were developing a relationship off the court. So that's pretty cool.
Especially on Instagram, Nick. We remember the last game that Cam Thomas was able to get out there. And, you know, those guys out in each other. I'll be certainly keeping an eye on their Instagrams. Yeah. Tonight for sure. But yeah, Kevin Durant is otherworldly, and we have the highest of standards for him, but he can still just do so much that we just forget that, you know, he's not just the best shot maker that we've ever seen. You know, he can throw dimes aplenty. He's an incredible teammate. His leadership has stepped up in a fashion that we probably haven't seen. You know, he's playing a level of comfort and desire and motivation. Yep. That we've rarely seen from him as well. And he's just an absolutely incredible player. And I'd love to see that he's continuing to get to the free throw line on such a regular basis. You know, it seems to me that there's always a night, whether if it's him, that James Harden will get into the line, KD's getting to it. And if Kevin Durant's not, then James Harden's getting 15 or 20 of them. So that mentality is really, really important. And as you mentioned there, Nick, you know, 9 assists, the team overall had 32. I've said before, you know, 25 sort of like a magic number for me. You know, most of the time this season, I'm pretty sure every game this season, they've had 25 or more assists, they've won the game. So if they continue to get that ball movement going, and funnily enough, when we were chatting in the DMs a little bit here and there, I was like, ball movement, let's increase that ball movement. By the end of the game, you know, they're clearly listening to my tweets of some regard, maybe.
They're in our DMs. No, you know, it really was, though, is like that third quarter, you saw the energy pick up, and a lot of that was KD. He kicked off that quarter with high energy. I think he started off with like a block on Jared Allen and scored on the other end of the floor. And I thought defensively he was really good in this game. He has Jared Allen's like turnaround, whatever it is, his hook shot or his jumper, like timed perfectly, swatted that pretty bad. Almost felt bad for Jared a little bit in those situations. But KD a little rusty in this one, but still overall very impactful for the win, especially late in the game.
James Harden, Nick, 5 of 10 from the field, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Didn't hit a 3 ball today, 0 of 2 from there, but 14 assists to go with these 14 points. Another 5 turnovers. It can be a bit sloppy, but did have 6 boards, including an offensive one. How would you grade, or how would you, you know, analyze this performance from the beard?
Yeah, I think I like James to be more aggressive, you know, obviously taking more shots. Just 10 shots isn't enough. You need him to be at least at like 15, given there are guys out. 14 assists is nice. I think Isaac Okoro did a good job of like really hounding him. There's definitely multiple situations where you felt like James maybe should have got to the line or should have got free throws or whatever it is. So not that James's best night. I think he was discouraged by the officiating and Isaac Okoro, but you still want to see him take more shots, especially the step back. I think he took one step back in this game, which I just found kind of interesting given, you know, he's been taking at least 3 or 4, it seems like, in most games.
Yeah, you can't have Jondre Bembry, Patty Mills, James Johnson, LaMarcus Aldridge, all of those guys taking more shots than James Harden. So hopefully he gets to be a bit more aggressive. And if he's not taking those amount of shots, then he needs to be having, you know, 10-plus free throws. So, you know, James is still working his way out. He's still had a pretty good season. He's been working his way back of late, especially in the past sort of 7 or 8 games in saying that too. So, but Nick, James Johnson, LaMarcus Aldridge, both of these guys, look, the box score doesn't look great for, you know, James Johnson. 4 of 13 from the field. Hit a crucial 3 ball, but only 1 of 4 from there. 0 of 2 from the free throw line. 4 boards, including 2 of them offensive. 5 assists, 2 steals. And you've got LaMarcus Aldridge, 10 of 14 from the field. That dude just, I can't remember the last time he missed actually a basket, to be fair. Didn't hit any of your 3 balls that you love seeing from him. But again, hit another free throw. 11 boards, including 2 of them offensive. Had a block, plus 14, 21 points. Nick, do one of these guys need a start for Blake Griffin, maybe?
You know, I think we're talking about possibly LaMarcus starting for him. You know, we mentioned earlier in the season that, like, hey, we need that scoring pop off the bench. But maybe if Nash is willing to give Cam some minutes, or he's just going to stagger like he has been. I think the staggering has been pretty good of late. You've always had KD or Harden on the floor and then, like, a mix of Patty Mills and whoever else is out there. So I wouldn't be surprised if they start LaMarcus moving forward. You know, he's earned it. Like you said, he doesn't really miss from the mid-range. He's developing a nice chemistry with James Harden where he doesn't roll to the rim. He just kind of pops out for a mid-range shot, and that's just really valuable to the offense. And he's a true center with his size. The 2 offensive rebounds, I believe, were tip-ins, you know? And don't get me wrong, there are disadvantages to playing LaMarcus. Like, defensively in the pick and roll, there are issues because he just doesn't move that well. He doesn't have that crazy vertical or anything like that. So you know, it's a give and take situation. But like I said before, they switched KD onto Jared Allen, put LaMarcus on Isaac Okoro, who just allowed him to kind of hide in the corner. Something to really consider is, you know, playing LaMarcus just because he's played so well and he gives you another option. I think it also allows the offense to start better. You know what I mean? I think, like we've talked about it, like the Nets are playing better defense this season, but at the end of the day, for them to win a championship, they need to be a really good offense. And LaMarcus is an avenue to kind of get there, especially when you're putting him out there with Patty Mills, Kevin Durant, James Harden, and himself. And then it's not as bad if you're playing a Bembry or a James Johnson, because now you have four good offensive players.
Yeah, maybe you get a different version of Blake Griffin off the bench. You know, maybe that change might actually benefit him, because I did see a quote from LaMarcus Aldridge talking about the fact that, you know, it's an adjustment for him and he'd love to be starting. He can't do any more than to earn that starting spot. Like, he has done absolutely everything offensively, been really credible defensively, if not above average in that department. So if it doesn't happen in the next two or three games, Nick, then I think Steve Nash made the wrong decision. But we'll wait and see how that does pan out. But James Johnson, Nick, James Johnson and DeAndre Bembry continue to just provide, in the absence of Bruce Brown, sort of step up in the sort of little things department, whether it's, you know, handling defensively, a bit of ball handling here and there, and just being a sort of a role player that the Nets need when they're missing probably two of their best ones in Joe Harris and Bruce Brown.
Yeah, no, James Johnson's been awesome. He's really stepped up for this team, closed the game tonight. He offers them defensive versatility as well. Looks comfortable on bigs, can do okay on some guards in different situations. And I think offensively provides them something a little bit different. Like I mentioned, the ball handling is something that sticks out. And then also, like you saw him late in this game, just find the open spots and get easy dunks and layups. Like, he understands what he needs to do out there. He's not the most gifted guy at this point in his career, or he never really has been, but he understands how to play basketball and make the right plays. And I think he could turn into being a really nice tool on this roster and continues to develop. Obviously, three-point shot could be better. Making some more shots would be cool. But at the end of the day, he's not really there to be an offensive microwave. You know, he's there to do other things on the floor and do the dirty work.
Yeah, it's the same thing with DeAndre Bembry. If both of those guys can just do enough of the other stuff, whether it's, you know, facilitation, you know, offensive rebounding, you know, tenacious defense, you know, good athleticism, because the best versions of the Brooklyn Nets in seasons past, you know, last season namely, Jeff Green at the five. You know, I want to see a little bit of James Johnson coming around there as your front court. I don't think that James Johnson is the athlete that Jeff Green is, but, you know, he's been struggling a little bit in Denver right now. But
he's tougher, though. Not to say Jeff Green's not a tough player. I mean, James Johnson looks like he's ready to, like, rip somebody's head off. I was kind of worried for the ref when they gave him that tech today. So
his rebounding has been, you know, incredible. And I think that's where the Nets have been weak of late. And, you know, they've been one of the worst offensive rebounding teams, one of the worst rebounding teams in general in the NBA, giving them up as well. But when you've had, like we sort of touched on at the start of the pod, him and LaMarcus Aldridge out there, they've looked awesome and really taking care of the boards and showing the physicality, boxing out hard and you know, just doing the little gritty, dirty things. When Kevin Durant misses a shot, Patty Mills misses a shot, James Harden misses a shot, well, James Johnson's going to be there fighting for it. So you can't ask more from them, but they've been awesome, Nick. So absolute kudos to them.
Yeah, and like you said, Bembry definitely did some great things out there, and, you know, wasn't necessarily his best offensive game three-point shooting-wise, and Garland got the better of him a couple times, but you love the energy and effort. And just quickly before we get out of here, Paul Millsap played some more minutes tonight. Played 9 minutes and 54 seconds, 1 of 4 from the field, 2 points, and 4 rebounds, 1 offensive, and 1 steal. I think Millsap started to look more in a rhythm in some of these situations here, and it could be a possibility of playing him more, especially, you know, if they decide to bench Blake or, you know, want to give him some rest or whatever it might be. But overall, you know, a really nice comeback for the Nets, who just didn't show up in the first half fully. They were like half there, kind of sleepwalking a bit. Third quarter turned it up, made some great plays, and made some adjustments too from Steve Nash.
Yep, make those adjustments, keep going forward, keep banking the wins. 13-5 now, Nick, you know, hopefully keeping a stranglehold of that top position and continue to work out a few kinks here and there. James Harden gets himself better. Steve Nash maybe fiddles a little bit with the rotation. You know, we've got our third best player out in Joe Harris, maybe our fourth or fifth in Bruce Brown. Who knows what's going on with Kyrie Irving these days? He's posting a lot on Instagram, but hopefully he's missing a bit of basketball too. So a lot of things happening with this Brooklyn Nets team, and the most important thing is that they're winning.
Yeah, they're missing pieces right now, but they're finding ways to win games. And like you said, Cleveland's probably a pretty good team. They'll probably end up being either a borderline playoff team or a play-in team. And they're missing some guys out there, but Jared Allen came to play tonight, and they have some good veterans over there. And Jack, final note before we get out of here, the Nets won the field goal attempt battle again tonight, 95-93, something we're not used to seeing for this team. But Jack, always a pleasure, and big thanks to everybody for listening. Catch the buzz on all streaming platforms.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.